Roy Bonalis, reader.
This is from The Cooper Collection, 108, Go to Heller, by Bill Bernico, third person.
Eddie and Tim were on foot patrol on Sunset Boulevard. They had the duty of checking business doors on the block. Eddie checked the front doors while Tim checked the doors that open onto the alley behind. Eddie had checked half a dozen or more doorknobs and found them all locked. However, after he had determined that the front door to Larry's pool hall was locked, something made him take a closer look in through the front windows. He thought he saw movement inside and stepped away from the window for a moment. When he took a second look, Eddie had confirmed that there was someone moving around inside the pool hall. Eddie hurried around to the alley entrance. Tim was just finishing checking the doors that preceded Larry's pool hall. He and Eddie got to the back door of Larry's at the same time.
"I thought you were checking the front doors," Tim said.
"I was," Eddie told him. "I saw someone moving around inside this place." He hiked a thumb at Larry's back door. Tim tried the knob and it turned freely. He pulled the door open slightly and listened. He could hear the sounds of someone walking around in the place. Tim held one finger up to his lips and pulled his service revolver. He motioned for Eddie to quietly follow him. The two policemen eased themselves into the back room of the pool hall and waited. They both heard the noise this time. Tim motioned for Eddie to sneak around the left side while he went around the right. As Tim stepped into the main pool hall, the burglar turned and saw him. In a split second, the man ran full out toward the front door, which had a large glass panel surrounded by a wooden frame. He raced for the front door and just broke through the glass just as Tim took one shot at him and hit him in the back of the head. The bullet blew the burglar's forehead out, and he dropped dead there on the sidewalk. Tim and Eddie went up to the burglar to get a closer look at him. They were surprised to find that it was a 16-year-old boy, but he had a gun stuck in his belt waistband. Tim called in to the station and requested a supervisor to meet him on the scene. Afterwards, they brought Tim and Eddie down to the station to fill out a report on what happened. Tim held it together pretty well, considering, but when he started to give his statement to the stenographer, he broke down and cried like a baby. He had tears streaming down his face because he felt so bad that he had shot this young boy. His supervisor assured him that if Tim had not shot the suspect, that Tim might be the one in the morgue. On this night, Eddie learned a very important lesson. Police officers feel very, very bad when they have to shoot anybody, and most certainly if it's a kid like that. He also learned that self-preservation took top priority. Eddie had to remind himself that the kid could not only have killed Tim, but he could have killed Eddie as well. Tim took a week off after that incident, giving Eddie the chance to experience what it's like to walk a beat alone during his probation period.
Tommy dropped the empty shotgun, snatched up the Desert Eagle, slipped and fell backward. He landed on his butt on the bow deck with his feet still in the anchor well. The gun was beaded with rain. His hands were wet and shaking, but he didn't drop the weapon when he landed. Clamoring over the railing, shrieking in triumph, the serpent-eyed Samaritan loomed over Tommy. The moon-round, moon-pale visage split open from chin to hairline as if it weren't a skull at all, but a strained sausage skin, and the halves of the bifurcated face peeled apart with the demented green eyes bulging at either side, and out of the sudden gash sprouted an obscene mass of writhing, segmented, glossy black tentacles as thin as whips, perhaps 2 feet long, and as agitated as the appendages of a squid in a feeding frenzy. At the base of the squirming tentacles was a wet sucking hole full of clashing teeth. 2, 4, 5, 7 times Tommy fired the .44 Magnum. The pistol bucked in his hands and the recoil slammed through him hard enough to rattle his vertebrae. At such close quarters, he didn't have to be as first-rate a marksman as Dell was, and every round seemed to strike home. The creature shuddered with the impact of the shots and pitched backward over the pulpit railing. Pincers flailed, grabbed, and one of them locked tightly on the steel tubing. Then the 8th and 9th rounds found their mark, and simultaneously, a section of railing gave way with a gong-like clang, and the beast plunged backward into the harbor.